Bismillah, elhamdülillah, ve salatu ve selamu ala Resulillah ve alihi ve sahbihi ve men vela. So we've plunged into the very different but somehow familiar waters of the month of Ramadan, embarking upon this great annual journey. And we do feel it's a journey because we know that we progress inwardly, at any rate. We know that the ibadah intensifies as the month moves on, reflecting not just the intensified holiness of the last 10 days and of Laylatul Qadr, but also the heart's increasing softness and sensitivity and sense of attentiveness to the value, to the nourishment that ibadah is offering us. And in this season, we learn the necessity of a certain brokenness. This is difficult for people with a modern education quickly to come to terms with. We are told to stride around, to feel good about ourselves, to proclaim our own value. It's an individualistic age in the sense that it almost deifies the individual. Ramadan confiscates from us our usual pleasures, our usual treats, our grazing habits, really all of our bad habits, and puts us into this different and challenging space. This space is a space of expectancy. It's as if the angels are watching, wondering whether we're going to live up to the invitation that the month represents. Will we just mess around? Will we just fake it? Will we just somehow bluff our way through the month? And then a day or two after the Eid, it's as though the benefits have gone completely. Or will we actually make use of it? Ramadan is a divine gift, offering us an outward form, which way we are invited with our intentionality to fill with meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the prayer, He gives us the fast, He gives us the zakat al-fitr, He gives us the taraweeh. All of these are frameworks in which we can operationalize religion. But what is the key virtue, the state of the heart, the disposition of the soul, that is not only encouraged by this month, but which is indispensable in it? How should we be in this state of confiscation, of exile from our usual treats? One of the terms that the ulama most frequently deploy in this time is the idea of a certain humility, of a lowering of the head, of an awareness of vulnerability, and an openness, therefore, to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is great. And this is the virtue that is often associated with the qualities of salat and sabr, and it is the virtue of khushu', this is the Arabic word for it. The Quran says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Seek help in prayer and in sabr, patient forbearance, and this is difficult except for people who have khushu'. Now we know from the hadith of Tirmidhi that fasting is closely related to sabr. And sabr indeed is the key virtue, you might say, of Ramadan. Both patience in abstaining from our usual indulgences and patience in maintaining additional acts of devotion. So we are asked, first of all, to find help in prayer and in sabr. And then we are told that it is difficult except for the people of khushu'. In other words, we seek help from the principle of khushu'. To the extent that the heart is humbled and inwardly reflects the outward humbling of the body, it can open up to the reality of Ramadan, open up to the reality of the divine name Al-Qarib. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask concerning me, I am near. Know that I am near. And the whole journey of faith really is the realization of the divine closeness. It's not a traveling to the divine presence so much as an unveiling of the divine presence, which is something that has no geographical or temporal localization because it's too near to us for that, closer than the jugular vein. So this quality of khushu' turns out to be the cardinal virtue that will enable Ramadan for us, which will operationalize it and turn it from being just an outward practice surrounded by charming features of inherited cultures and turn it into a contemplative exercise of the very first importance. What is the quality of this khushu'? One of the great ulama defined it as tadallulil qulub li'allamil ghuyub, the humbling of the heart to the knower of the unseen. That is to say, the one who in the prayer, in the tarawih, in the intentions, in the iftar, in all the practices of Ramadan in particular, is aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all those things that those crowds don't see. That one leaves the mosque, perhaps in a sense of self-satisfaction at having performed 20 rakahs rather than leaving like some others. But that self-satisfaction is a sign that we haven't actually performed a single rakah. We need to leave in the state of istighfar, but in the state of hopefulness. And that comes about through this khushu', through this brokenness, through this humility, that is also something sweet and beautiful because it is the precondition for the experience of the nearness of the one in whom is all perfection and all healing. So to operationalize this, we and to examine ourselves through the process of muhasabah, and this is a month when we should really be watching ourselves, ignoring what other people are thinking or doing when they're watching us. They're not the judge. But watching ourselves and particularly scrutinizing the states of the heart, examining the state of the heart at the beginning of the prayer. Do I really mean it when I say Allahu Akbar? And examining the state of the heart when the prayer is over. What is the quality of the qunut, if we're saying qunut at the end of the witr of the tarawih? What is the emotional experience of that? So this khushu' is about undistractedness. It's about not looking around, what they call iltifat, looking this way and that. It is qiyamul qalb, the upholding of the heart, lillahi ta'ala bihammin majmu', as one of the scholars used to say. It is the heart standing before Allah, bayna yaday Allahi ta'ala, before God, in the presence of God, bihammin majmu', with a unified concern. In other words, ikhlas. What does ikhlas mean? Purity, because it means the minimizing of the number of intentions in every action we have. The munafiq has dozens of intentions, most of which he probably doesn't even discern. The believer should have one intention, which is to please the one who alone is a meaningful judge. So this khushu' is measurable when we consider the extent to which our concerns are focused. Do we have this attention? Are we thinking only about Quran, only about the quality of the sujood, only about our meticulous adherence to the perfect form of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather than surrendering to any kind of innovated personal preference? So this attentiveness is very important. Adam al-iltifat, not looking around to see what others are doing. So in this month, when we consider this khushu' and this kind of natural humility, because an intelligent human being is aware of the shortness of his or her life, is aware of the weakness of his or her tadayyun, religiosity, is aware that without a consciousness of the divine help, the divine healing, the divine forgiveness, we really are not very much and we don't really stand a chance when we face judgment in this world or in the next world. That this brokenness is something that is part of fitra, part of naturalness. It is the proper state of human beings. Arrogance is the pharaonic refusal to bow down to the ruh, which is in Adam, alayhi salam. But khushu' should be our natural state. If we look in the Qur'an, we find, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. And of Allah's signs, it is that you see the earth in a state of khushu', khashi'atan. And when we send down upon it the rain, it thrills and grows. Beautiful plants come from it. So in a sense, we have to be like the earth in Ramadan, in a state of potential fertile receptivity. Grace comes from the Creator. We can't make the rain fall. We may have extraordinary moments that transform our lives if we are giving this month something of its right. There are so many gifts, so much richness that can be bestowed at this time. But we have to be empty, broken, receptive, which is the meaning of Islam itself. Receptivity, submission, acceptance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we venture into this very holy time that we make full use of it, that we don't waste a second, whether we're doing something or not doing something, whether we're praying, reading Quran, or not eating and not drinking, that it be a time where the distractions of the modern world settle, become less interesting, and we have this hem majmu', this unified contemplative concern, so that we remember only the one in the multiplicity and are not distracted by anything at all, but focus only on him, al-wahid, al-qahar, the one, the overwhelming. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting, to accept our prayers, to accept our intentions, to accept our goodness, inshallah, towards family, neighbours, mosque congregations, and to make this a real time of inward prosperity for ourselves, our communities, and for the whole ummah, inshallah. Taqabbalallahu siyamakum, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.